chapter 9, verse 6. For a child is born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The second scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth to Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. This is the word of the Lord.
I am so glad that each one of you is here this evening. I actually have been praying for you, each one of you individually, that God would move your heart, that you would come. You have come to a place where the miraculous birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as you can tell, is celebrated. Where we lift up his name and we say, come, let us all adore him. The last 4 weeks as a church, we've been looking at a certain theme. Who can tell me? It's wrapped up in two words. What is the theme that we've been talking about?
No fear.
And we're learning how to live our lives without fear. And I'm telling you, Christmas Eve is the epitome of a time when we can celebrate the fact that we have a Savior who allows us to live our lives without fear. And in the Luke story, Bill and I, we've been getting our exercise this evening. Yes, we've been going back and forth. But the Luke story that we just heard, those short seven verses in the Gospel of Luke, they have so much detail that's involved. The first five verses basically tell us all about this census that was taking place. And that's not what we're going to be looking at tonight. So if you have your Bibles in front of you, and you all do, go ahead and open up to Luke chapter 2. I know it's Christmas Eve, it's not Sunday morning, but I love to teach. And I just love to hear my Savior come out in Scripture. Look at verse 6. That's the one verse we're going to be looking at more than anything else this evening. And we're going to be looking at three short words that seem real simple. And this is just a simple Christmas message this evening. Verse 6 states, while they were there, the time came. The time came for her to deliver her child. Say those three words for me. The time came. Go ahead, say it.
The time came.
If you're new this evening, I often ask the congregation to repeat after me. You should try it. It really works well, as you just see. The time came. One more time.
The time came.
What time? Seriously, I mean, what time just came? How many of you know the answer to that? Look at that scripture again. What time was it? Time for what?
To be delivered.
Baby time. That's right. It was baby time. It was time for a baby to be delivered. Not just any baby, but our Savior Jesus Christ. That's what we're celebrating this evening. That's the Christmas story. Where in the Bible do you think the Christmas story starts? That's kind of the end of the Christmas story. The birth of our Savior, and then, you know, the shepherds come and the wise men. But where's the beginning of our Christmas story? We can look back at Matthew and think, you know, maybe when the angel came to Joseph, or, you know, we've been seeing in Luke when the angel came to Zechariah and then came to Mary, and that's not where it starts. Maybe it's the Isaiah scripture, the first one that Bill read this evening. Wow. Just laid out who Jesus is in those four wonderful, wonderful terms. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Is that where the Christmas story begins? I don't think so. Yeah, you nod your head. You know it. It starts in Genesis. It starts in Genesis. Back in the fall of man, when God said, I am going to send you a son. And that son is going to be your redemption. As we learned last Sunday, that son is going to be your Savior. He'll take care of you eternally, and he'll take care of you here on earth. And then all the way through Abraham, when God said, listen, you're going to have a multitude of people as your progeny. And then it went through Moses, and it goes all the way through history. So in that first century, they were ready for that son. But they were probably asking the question, well, it's about time, right? We heard that from the kids at the first service, if any of you were here. The first century, I'm thinking the people were saying, it's about time that son comes. Where has he been? Any of you ever want a puppy when you were a kid for Christmas? You know, I asked that question of the kids when they were here. Half of them raised their hand, but the other half in the congregation raised their hand. Like we want a puppy this Christmas. How many of you want a puppy this Christmas? None of you. Why, y'all are like tired or something. Who wants a puppy this Christmas? Just humor me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, what if your parents or what if your spouse said, okay, I'll get you a puppy this Christmas. And then tomorrow morning you wake up and no puppy. All right, next Christmas they'll remember. And then the Christmas that comes next, there's still no puppy. And then the Christmas after and the Christmas after, what would you be thinking of your parents when they made that promise? It's coming. I promise you. Maybe they forgot. Maybe they got too busy. Maybe you did something wrong. Maybe they're angry with you, or you disappointed them, so they didn't bring that puppy along. Or maybe they're just distracted. They're so busy with so many other things. When that puppy comes along, what are you going to say? It's about time, right? This is how the people of Israel were feeling when the birth of our Savior took place. That Messiah is going to be coming. And that Messiah was promised to us way back when. Charlie, if you can turn off the pulpit mic, that would be awesome. Just turn that off. That would be good. Okay, turn everything else off. Just turn the lights off. Go do something. How did you all celebrate Christmas morning, like in your families? I grew up with four boys, and we had a rule. We had a number of rules in our house, but for Christmas, there was a specific rule. One was, you could not go downstairs and open up the presents. Yeah, you all have your rules, I see. You can't go downstairs and open up the presents until all the boys are awake. But there's a second rule, and this was a killer. You are not allowed to wake up the other boy. You're not allowed to do it. I don't know why I didn't just think, you know, mom and dad are fast asleep. They'll never know. But we knew we're not going to do it. So every Christmas morning with the four boys, I was always the first to wake up because I was the youngest. I was the baby. The baby always wakes up first, right? No. Anyway, I did. And I would wake up and I shared a room with my other brother, and I didn't follow the rules. I woke him up. And then we would go out, and my parents' room was here. Timmy was on the right and on the left, and David was on the right. And we go in front of David's room because he was easier to wake up. And we do that fake whisper outside of his door. And we say, hey, I wonder if Daddy brought the same Swiss chocolates as he did every other year. And that would get him. And boom, he'd come running out. And then we'd sit around Timmy's room, and he was really hard to get up. I mean, really. So we'd have to fake whisper for about 15 minutes until finally he came out. And when he did, guess what we said? It's about time. And we'd all run into our parents' room, wake them up, and we could all go downstairs because we were all all awake. When Luke tells us that the time came for her to deliver her child, it wasn't that simple of a story. This was the culmination of a meticulous planning by our God, who had made a whole world that was groaning and waiting for this Messiah, this child to come along. God took his time to prepare that baby to then lead us to salvation. In Galatians, Paul states in chapter 4:4, when the fullness of time had come. And that's what we're all about this evening. The fullness of time, brothers and sisters, has come. It's upon us right now. And on that first Christmas night in Bethlehem, after a 90-mile journey, what is that, from here to D.C.? Baltimore? 90 miles. And she couldn't just get in her car and go. 90-mile journey. Away from her town in Nazareth, into a town that was foreign to her, and she didn't want to be there, but she had to be. Away from her mom, 9 months pregnant, away from her mom. You getting the picture? Away from any of her siblings. Then to make matters worse, she finds herself in a cave. After her labor, baby Jesus was born. And what do you think Mary was thinking? You know what she's thinking. It's about time. Right? I'll never forget when Rachel was born. It was an experience. It was in the slums of Naples. Okay? I remember the other two girls too. But Rachel was particular because the staff said, you can't assist. But since I was on the board of the hospital, because it was a Protestant hospital in the slums of Naples, they said, okay, since you're a VIP, I was 25, 26, you're allowed to, if there's no one else in the birthing room. Do you understand what that means? I didn't understand what that meant. I thought a communal birthing room was normal, right? Whoever's having a baby goes into that room, no matter how many people are in there. Okay, sure. Fortunately, no one else went into labor that night. An hour and a half later, that's pretty good, right? Rachel came. And I'll tell you, I was exhausted, but and you know what I said, right? It's about time. But, you know, one of my sisters-in-law, 48 hours in labor. I read in the paper another woman had a baby who was 6 weeks overdue. Something went wrong there. You know what they were thinking when the baby finally came. Yeah. But it is God's time that allowed our Savior to be born exactly when he needed to be born. Exactly. And our Christmas story would have been so much different if it was left up to us and our timing and when we thought everything should happen and the times when things should take place and all of those years of waiting fit together perfectly until the night when the fullness of time came. When God's timing was realized, and as Luke's gospel tells us, that time came, and it had come. And I know that this Christmas, for many of us as Americans, and for many of us as individuals as well, right on the forefront of our minds is the tragedy of the massacre of the innocents in Newtown. And the families that will be waking up tomorrow morning with presents under the tree that will not be unwrapped by a child. It's about time for these families that this child is born for them. When the inexplicable happens, all we're able to do is just point to the manger and say, the time has come. It has come now. And maybe you're here this evening and you're saying those words, "It's about time, Lord, that you come, because I'm ready. I'm ready for you to be by my side." And maybe you showed up tonight. I had three people at the first service. "Hey, I only come to Christmas and Easter." And I said, "Hey, at least you're honest about it. Praise God." And I love to hear that. I'd love to have you more often, but at least I like to hear that. But maybe you showed up tonight and you've been looking for something or someone and you're just not quite sure what it is. Maybe you're saying it's about time because my job or my marriage or my kids and I don't get along, and maybe my health hasn't improved or life has just kind of lost its purpose. It's about time, maybe you're saying, that this child is born to lead me to a place that just makes more sense. Or maybe you've worked hard your whole life. You have three cars, a house, a wife, kids, retirement. But for some reason, all of that, none of that seems to matter. And this feels like it's just slipping through your fingers like sand, because you're looking for something and someone, and you don't know what it is. You just can't seem to find it. It's time to look somewhere else. You've been looking in all the wrong places. Welcome home. Welcome home. You've arrived at a place where the story of Christmas is not just told, but it's lived. The story of Christmas is about God painstakingly putting all the details together so that not only on that first Christmas did our Savior come into the world, but this evening you are here for a very specific purpose. And God worked the time in such a way so that His timing is such that you are here and He's saying, "It's about time. It's about time that you let me love you. Isn't it about time that you open up your heart and let me in and allow me to take your life and make it into something that it's not?" Our Savior Jesus Christ was born in the fullness of time, and tonight, folks, we're here to celebrate that. It's a party. Don't leave this evening without receiving the Savior, and know that He wants you to love Him as He's been waiting for you to come and receive Him. What a simple story that is. What a simple story. Oh, and it's about time we heard it. Amen. Almighty God, we do come before You this evening, and we ask You that You will allow us to see the simplicity behind Your story. A story that tells us of the birth of a Savior who came specifically for each one of us, knows our heart, knows our lives, knows our frustrations, knows the celebrations, knows everything. Thank You, Lord, for coming. And we can't wait to see how time is going to evolve in such a way that You're going to use us for Your purposes. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.